Aren't you glad for that? Jesus saves. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. Most of you know I'm a big Sunday school guy. Like, I'm encouraged by Sunday school. I want Sunday school to go on everywhere, whether it's on Sunday morning or Wednesday night or Tuesday evening. Bible study is always a good thing. A couple years ago, the Assemblies of God had, they give you a theme every year for the Sunday school curriculum. A few years ago, the theme was Learning for Life. That was their theme for the Sunday school program. And I like that. In fact, that's what I'm going to call my sermon today, Learning for Life, because we learn through God's Word about how to live our lives. Amen? Now, 2 Peter 1, verse 3. Before we read that, a little background on the author in the book. We do our due diligence. Well, Peter wrote it, obviously. And if you remember, Peter was the one who denied Jesus three times. He was scared of a little girl. A couple of little girls come up and asked him about who he was, and he denied Jesus. And if you read Luke's gospel, I think you'll see that the last time he denied Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus looked right at Peter when he denied him. Can you imagine how he felt at that point? He denies him, and Jesus sees him doing it, and Peter sees Jesus looking at him. Now, he was also the one in the book of Acts who was baptized in the Holy Spirit. Acts 2 says this, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, a whole lot of time hadn't elapsed here. It was the baptism in the Holy Spirit that gave Peter the boldness and effectiveness to become the preacher that he was. And later on in that same chapter, Acts 2:14 says this, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. And then he goes on to preach to the crowd, preach to this whole crowd of people that were there. Now, I got to know, we have roughly 100 people here, and if I didn't have my microphone on, probably a lot of you wouldn't be able to hear me. How does Peter address over 3,000 people and they all hear him? That had to be a God thing, because I don't think he had a little microphone on his mouth when he was preaching. But Acts 2:41 says, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. From the time that he received the power of the Holy Spirit, he became a different person. Now, 2 Peter was written near the end of all of his ministry, and he was about to be crucified. 2 Peter 1:13-15 says this. It says, Peter writing, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. Now, if you don't have one, I suggest you get one. It's called the Fox's Book of Martyrs. You can pick it up pretty inexpensively. And it tells about the way that Christians died from the time of Jesus to about 1500 or 1600. And in that book, it is said that Peter, at Peter's request, was crucified upside down on a cross made like an X. And his reasoning was he was not worthy to be killed the same way that Jesus was killed. So they crucified Peter upside down. So now this is the same guy whose life is coming to an end. He's been filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's been through a lot of years of ministry. And 2 Peter 1:3 says this. He's writing to the people that he ministered to on his last days. And he wants them to understand what they need to do. 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And I like the way the New Living Translation says it. It says this, as we know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life. He has called us to receive his own glory and goodness. Now, if you read all of 2 Peter, most of that book was written to refute heresy and doctrine that were going on in that town and then in the area he was at. And he was trying to get to the point where, and we've talked about this before, what you believe dictates how you live. Your doctrine dictates your life. So he was trying to build upon the fact that these people knew the truth, but they were being kind of taught heresy, and he had to address that so that their foundation was in fact true. Because what you believe dictates how you live. And so if you believe something that's false, your life will go in this direction. If you believe the truth, it will lead this way. Philippians 3:8. Now, when he's talking about, when Peter's talking about everything you need, he's talking about knowledge. And there's many verses that Peter is basically relying upon and building upon to emphasize this truth to the people he's writing to. Philippians 3:8 says, "What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I might gain Christ." Colossians 1:9, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to what? Fill you with the knowledge of his will, through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that what? You may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, again growing in the knowledge of God." James 3:13, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." 2 Peter 1:2, "Grace and peace be yours in abundance." How? "Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." Notice the pattern. God is saying, through Peter and through these other, through Paul and whoever wrote the epistles, you need to get to know God. Because through this knowledge, your life will be blessed. All these verses are telling us to let God fill us with wisdom and knowledge. So let's go back to our verse, 2 Peter 1:3. "His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him." Now, Peter knows a little bit about divine power. Remember, he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and he became a different person because of the power that came into his life. And there wasn't a whole lot of time that transpired between those two events. What's the divine power? Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit gave him the power, gave him the wisdom, and gave him the knowledge for living like Christ commanded. How do we know what God wants for our life unless we know God? We know what God wants through our knowledge of him. First, we need to know we need God's divine power. We need the Holy Spirit, right? We need the Holy, because we can't do it alone. How many have tried to live the Christian life without God's help? You can't. Even with God's help, it's hard enough, right? But you need the Spirit of God to help you every day. Think back to when you were a non-believer, if you were an adult when you were a non-believer. The things that people told you, you didn't understand, did you? You just thought they were crazy or goofy or just weird. But as soon as you gave your life to Christ, instantly you became, "Oh, of course, now I understand." All that was cleared up. What's the difference? When you became a Christian, the Bible says the Holy Spirit fills you. And now you're able, it's like a light bulb going off in your head. Now you understand. Sometimes if you've been a Christian a long time and you try to talk to people about Christ and they just don't understand, you get frustrated, right? But we forget how we were. The same way, they don't have the truth. They can't understand the truth until the Holy Spirit is able to reveal that truth to them. That's why Peter says, "His divine power has given us the ability." The Holy Spirit gives you the ability to understand what this book says. When I first went to college, I wasn't a pretty religious guy, but my girlfriend gave me a Bible at the time. It was called The Way. How many remember that? The Way Bible. And I went to school, and I was there for about a month and a half, and I thought, well, there might be something to this. So I opened up the book, and I started reading from Genesis. And now the way was a pretty easy version. And I got about a chapter or two into this, and I closed it up. I have no idea what I'm reading. And I put it down. Now, just as a little aside there, I was open to the gospel at that point. Had someone witnessed to me, I might have gotten saved then. I actually went to a couple of different churches on campus because, you know, I'm at college, it's something new. And I went to a couple of churches up there, and nobody said hi to me going in. Nobody ever contacted me. And then, well, college life set in, and that was all there was. That's all there was. You never know where people are in their life. They may be right at the point where all they need is someone to talk to them. A lot of times you pray for someone, it's not actually you who gets them saved, right? You pray that someone else goes to them. And people might have been praying for this person for years. And the fruit's ripe. And God just happens to send you to pick the fruit. All the praying's already been done, and that person's prepared because God and other people have been praying for them. God sends you, and three words out of your mouth, they could have gotten saved because they're already ready. You never know who's ready, who's not, who God has been working on. So always, the Bible says, always be ready to give an answer to those folks. The Holy Spirit helps you to understand the things you read in this book. He gives us the ability. The Word gives us the knowledge. The Holy Spirit helps us to understand what it is we're reading. Well, the first question you have to ask yourself, it says, I've given you everything you need for life. Well, what's life? Mark Lowry does a comedy skit. I mean, know who Mark Lowry is. Runs with the Gaithers. He's a comedian. And he says, what's life? Life is getting up, going to work, paying the bills, feeding the kids, driving the car, having accidents. That's life. And the Bible says God's given you life more abundantly. So you have more going to work, more bills to pay. And he goes on to say that basically his favorite verse is, it came to pass. That's it. It came to pass. Whatever is in your life right now, it's there, but it's going to pass. And your life is going to pass. How many realize that now? The older you get, your life's flying by. What's life? What does God say life is? The second question is, well, how do I learn about life? That's where Peter says this book needs to take you. If we don't know what God says about life, how can you live it correctly? Jim Elliot says, one does not surrender life in an instant. That which is lifelong can only be surrendered in a lifetime. How many of you have bad habits? You don't have to put your hands up. That you've acquired over the years. How many try to get rid of those bad habits quickly? You can't. It takes a long time to get rid of those things you've done for so many years. We cannot give up learning about life in an instant either. There's always something more to learn about life. Our years that we live here are lifelong. However long you're here, 70, 80, 90 years. That's how long you need to be learning. God is still able to teach you and use you whether you are 10 or 100. If you're willing and you're teachable. Moses was 40 when God sent him to the desert. Right? And during those 40 years he was there, God prepared him. He was 80 when God says, okay, time to go to Egypt. 80. How many 80-year-olds we have? You ready to go to Egypt? Ready to go stand before a king and demand God's way? He was 80. But he would not have been able to use Moses if Moses wasn't willing to learn and be taught. He could have told his father-in-law, look, I retire. I like the sheep. I'm good out here. I don't need to know anything new. How many of you have parents like that? I don't want to learn anything new. I'm good. Always have to be learning. Always have to be growing. One of the things that us old guys need to realize is there's always something that we can be taught. And the thing is now, the age I am and the age you are, that, son of a gun, these young kids know stuff. Right? And they sometimes know more than we do. Now you got to eat a lot of crow, right? Swallow some pride and let the young people teach us, because they have things to share as well. Let we never stop being able to be taught. Whether we feel like we don't want to learn something new or we're not able to learn something new, that's when you stop growing. That's when you stop being able to be used by God. People in many professions have to go through continued education in their field simply because times change, situations change, ideas change, and there's something new that wasn't around when they first went to school. Doctors, lawyers, dentists, teachers, secretaries, engineers, almost every profession has a continuing education to learn something new that's coming out. No matter how much you study the Word, there's always going to be something more that you can learn. Someone once said that the Bible is shallow enough that the youngest Christian can understand it, but deep enough that the most learned scholar will never get to the bottom of. There's always something new. Someone will always get an insight from scriptures that maybe you haven't seen in the past. How many have read the Bible through cover to cover? If you haven't done it, I encourage you to do it. Now, sometimes when you're reading it through, even though you've read it cover to cover, there may be something that you read the next time that, oh, that applies to me right now. Or in 5 years from now, that applies to you right now. It never gets old. Or you may read something in the Bible that may address a situation that a friend of yours may be in, that they may need to hear a word of encouragement. And you happen to read something that you say, you know, that would be great for Sue or for John. I read the scripture today. Let me encourage you with the scripture. Never stop learning. I would go so far as to say, if you aren't involved in a class setting or you're not doing some personal study on your own, you're missing out. You're missing out on being taught through God's Word of what He wants for each one of us. I went to, years ago, they had a missionary convention in Indianapolis in the dome out there. And that's a pretty big place. And they continuously had missionaries up on the platform sharing what God was doing through them and showing videos and slideshows and stuff. And we went to that. And as we were watching this, I noticed that a whole bunch of people were walking around talking and kibitzing and not paying any attention to what's going on. And the first thing I thought to myself was, these people aren't giving the respect to the missionaries that they need to be having. And they're also saying that I don't need to learn anything else from these guys. I was there to soak it all in. I want to learn. I want to know what's going on. But there's so many people that were just there to fellowship and not be taught what was going on. I keep getting emails from the district about continuing education. Valley Forge is offering free classes. You got to go there, but they're free. And I'm just trying to rack my brain figuring, how can I fit this in my schedule to drive to Valley Forge, take a free class? They're always there. There's always time to learn. The second meaning of that verse is that God's Word can supply you all that you need for any particular problem that you have in your life. He's given us all the Holy Spirit, but He also gives it to us so we can apply God's Word to our life right now. How many have difficulties in your life? How many's life is clean sailing? That it's perfect all the time, every day. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you if that's the way your life is. Because maybe I'm missing something. But as far as I know, pretty much everybody goes through struggles and trials. The Bible never promised us a rose garden, as the saying goes, right? But no matter what age you are, we all have difficulties. Right? Now, problems don't disappear as you get older. And I hear a big amen, right? They change. How many of you were 20, just couldn't wait till you were 40 because you know life was going to be set? And then when you're 40, man, I can't wait to retire because it's going to be great. And those of you who are retired, Lord, come back. As you get older, you have trials and tribulations. They're different depending on where you are in your age. Your needs change according to age. Situations are different, circumstances change, but God's word applies to whatever stage you are in life, whether you're a teen or you're retired. If you're a teenager, you're probably not thinking about raising kids. You're probably not thinking about retiring. But God's perspective on dating and premarital sex is not changed. It's in there. What does God say about cheating in class? Now, when you're a parent, you're probably not thinking about which college to send your kids to, although maybe some of you are. You want God's will for your family and for your kids at a young age. You're also at a point where you're transitioning now from being always being taught to now being the teacher, aren't you, as a parent? Up until this point, you were basically soaking in the information. And now as a parent, you've got to kind of dole that out to your kids, and you've got to train them. It's no different in God's economy. As a new Christian, you want to take in as much information as you can, let the teachers fill you with information. But there comes a point when you become a little bit more mature, and now you're able to dispense that information that you have into somebody else. How many know what the Dead Sea is? The Dead Sea is just a big pond that's just salty, and it's just nothing grows there. It's pretty much dead. No life. Why is that? Because there's no inlet and there's no outlet. The Sea of Galilee, on the other hand, is just the opposite. Teeming with life, all kinds of vegetation and fish and all that kind of stuff. Why? Because there's a way in and a way out. There's always movement. When God fills you with wisdom and understanding, it's not for you to keep to yourself. You become stagnant and dead if you only accumulate information and never give it out. To be alive, you want to disseminate the things that you learn to other people as you mature. I'm getting to the point now where my kids know, you know, a lot of stuff. I act as if they don't. And I will say, well, let me help you with that. Dad, I'm good. I got that. Well, make sure you check this. Make sure you check that. Don't forget this. Don't forget that. Dad, you're just like Grandpa. We know what to do. And you know what? It's exactly where you want them to be. So you shut up and you let them do it. Otherwise, you'll keep doing it for them forever. You want them to learn. When you become a mature Christian, you want to be able to give out, not always take in. The more that you give out, teachers, tell me if this is not true. And the more you teach, the more you learn. Amen? The more you teach, the more you learn. When you're retired, as the third section, you probably don't need God's perspective on dating. Although, who knows? Maybe. You want God's will for all the extra time you have. How many of you have retired guys have all this extra time now? When you retire, you think, man, I got all this time. You wind up with no time. Right? You're always busy doing something. And you actually work more now that you're retired than you did when you worked. Someone once said, wives said, retirement is too much husband, not enough money. Go get a job. I don't want you in the house all day long. And all the girls and women are going, it's right. You want space. You begin to need God more often, maybe for your health or for wisdom on living on a fixed income. God's provision. You're also at a point where you're transitioning as well. And we've talked about this before. You're transitioning from doing it all to delegating and teaching the younger folks how to do what you do. What's the Bible say? Older men, teach the younger guys. Older women, teach the younger women. Because guess what? We ain't going to be here forever. And when we're gone, hopefully the younger guys will be trained to do what we're doing now. God's word gives you the ability to understand and to do all those things. Each person needs God's will for a specific time in their life, whether it's teens, 20s, 30s, 40s, whatever age is. God's word gives you wisdom for each of those areas. Second point is God is also able to use each person differently depending on where you are in life. Now, one of the things we've noticed in this church and most churches we go to, that the people who work in ministries generally, not always, but generally have kids in those ministries. Now, we used to think that it was because they loved being with the kids. And we found out that's not always true. It's nice to have a break from the kids. But the reason they're in those ministries is because right now, that's what they're thinking about. Moms with little babies are thinking about little babies and all little babies' needs. Not me so much. It's been a while. So you are in a ministry that you are thinking about. It's a part of your life right now. When our kids were teens, you wanted to be involved in the youth group. Why? Because you have teens and you identify with teens. And you hang out with teens because you want to be friends with your kids' friends as much as they hated that. When you become a senior citizen, you want to hang out with senior citizens at the center. Why? Because you have things in common. You have the same goals, the same ambitions, and God can use you in that group. No matter where you are in life, God can use you for something. And as God's word trains you, he enables you to be able to do whatever it is he's asking you to do. He gives you the wisdom through his word. The whole point of this is we can all continue to learn, grow, and teach until Jesus comes. Right? There's no ending to this. No one has arrived at the point where we've acquired all the knowledge you need. No one's arrived yet. No one can say, you know what? I'm done. There was a commercial out a couple years ago when the internet was, you know, just becoming of age, and the guy was sitting at his computer and the screen came up and says, "The end." He says, "Honey, I've come to the end of the internet. I've seen everything." How many saw that commercial? How many know there is like no ending to the internet? No matter where you go, there's always one more spot. No matter how much you've learned, there's always more to learn. The verse we're talking about tells us that we have everything for need for life, but it also says we have everything we need for godliness. I like the way the New Living Translation says it again. As we know Jesus better, his divine power gives us everything we need for living a godly life. What's a godly life? And how do I live it? Why do we want to live a godly life? Can't I just live the way I want to live now? We want to live, and that's the key word, we want to live a godly life. We don't want to be commanded to live a godly life. Don't you like it better when your kids obey you because they want to than if you make them? Although sometimes you have to make them. Sometimes God will make us if we don't do it ourselves. I want to live a godly life because of what God's already done for me. It's all I can do. I can't earn what I've got. So I want to honor God by living the way he asked me to live. Well, how do you find out what a godly life is? Through our knowledge of him. There's a whole bunch of verses on knowledge we talked about, and there's a whole lot more. The point is that through the knowledge of God, you can live a godly life. How many of you as a parent ever leave your kids, older kids, notes on things to do? You know, feed the dog, wash the clothes, dust the shelves. You leave this note out plain as day on the door of their room or wherever you leave it so they can see it. And you come home and it's not done. And you say, "Didn't you see the note?" They say, "I didn't see the note." "It's right here. How could you miss the note? It's right here." Now, if you leave the note and they kind of look at it and say, "You know, if I read that, I'm going to have work to do. So I'll just ignore the note and say, I didn't see it or I didn't read it, so therefore I won't have to do it." Does that excuse them from what you've asked them to do? No. Now, if you don't leave a note or any instructions and they don't do it, whose fault's that? Ours. But if you leave the note and they don't do it, whose fault is it? It's theirs. Well, guess what? God's left the note. Just because you don't read it does not exempt you from doing it. Let me know it's true. How many have ever tried to plead ignorance of the law? I didn't see that speed limit sign. Honest. I didn't see that stop sign. I had no idea this road was 25 miles an hour. Oh, well, that's fine, sir. You can go ahead and leave then if you didn't know. Or do they say, tough luck for you, buddy. Here's your ticket. Because ignorance, not knowing the law, does not exempt you from the law. God's Word has given us everything. How much? Everything we need for life and living godly. All that God requires us to have and to live is here. If we don't learn it and we don't continue to learn it, it's on us. It's our responsibility. We already shared about, you know, Judy talked about being ready for the Lord's return, and we talked about that earlier. John, or 1 John 3 says this, "Yes, dear friends, we are already God's children, and we can't even imagine what we will be like when Christ returns. But we do know that when He comes, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He really is." And this is the verse, "And all who believe this will keep themselves pure, just as Christ is pure." In other words, if you're waiting for Christ's return, you better be ready. You can't take the test when He gets here. You have to have already passed the test before He comes. This book prepares you for that day. I'm going to read 2 Peter 1:3 and just add the commentary in there. His divine power, what is that? That's the Holy Spirit. Has given us, or basically made available to us, His Word, everything we need for life, which is what? Situations we face, dating, raising kids, later year transitions, whatever it is. And godliness, what is that? Living our lives to please God, what we should do as Christians, how God has made that available. How do we get that knowledge for life and godliness? Through our knowledge of Him. We believe this as individuals and as a church. As much as possible, we need to teach this book. Because not because we have to do it, but because we want everyone to share in those blessings. We want everyone to reap the benefits of knowing God's Word. Whenever I pray for this, for the services, I pray, Lord, don't let anything I say be not what You wanted me to say. Because people come to church to meet God, right? You come here because God's here. You don't come because of me. You come because God's here. And you want God to minister to you. You want God's truth to come to you. Not things that I say. Not my opinion or what I think or whatever's going on. You want what God says. And so I pray, Lord, we want it to be You. Only You. Because I have nothing to share with anybody. I got nothing. God's Word is what blesses you. God's Word is what encourages you and gives you things you need for life. And so, unfortunately, you only get one meal a week or two if you come on Wednesdays. And most of us don't live on one or two meals a week. We're lucky we live on one or two meals a day. So we do that here. We have Sunday school. We have Wednesday night. We do everything we can to teach God's Word to everybody in different settings, in different areas of life. We want people to benefit in their life personally and in their relationship with God. That's how you are blessed. At the beginning of the service, we talked about the blessings in our life. How do we know what they are and how do we realize them unless we know God's Word? You know, there's countries that you can't even own a Bible, right? You tear out pages and shove them in your pocket and hope they don't catch you. Or they'll kill you or put you in prison for owning a Bible. In this country, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting the Bible. They're everywhere. I mean, you go to Walmart, you go to CVS, they're everywhere. Nobody has any excuse for not ever having a Bible. So the task is simple. How much do we know God? How much knowledge of God do we have? If we gave a test on their basic knowledge of God, what grade would we get? We get an A? Or would we flunk? The more we know God, the more we'll have help in life situations. Our old pastor did a lot of counseling. And when people would come in and start talking to him, he'd say, wait, hold on a second. He said, did you pray today? Did you read God's word today? And he'd say, well, no. You go do that, and then come back and see me. Because if they can't get something from God's word, he's certainly got nothing for them. Pray and read God's word first. Why? Because it gives you answers for life. If you don't know it, you can't use it. How many like to read the instructions before you put something together? All else fails, read the instructions, right? We were putting that dryer together yesterday. And sure enough, we put it together and then we read the instructions. So we had to take it apart again and put it back together right. And as I think about it, every time I've done this, I've done the same thing. I throw the cord on, and I'm like, oh, forgot to put the hook on first. So you take it apart. Why? Because you don't read it first. How do you expect to do what God wants you to do and be blessed how God wants you to be blessed if you don't read the book? And you need the Holy Spirit to help you to understand the things you read. The Holy Spirit will pick a verse or two and will seal it in your mind if you want him to. The more we know God, the more we'll have help in situations in life. And the more we will be able to live a life that's pleasing to God. Do you ever question, man, is my life pleasing to God? Is it not pleasing to God? Well, are you living according to the book? Do you know what God wants? If you do, then yeah, it probably is. If you don't, then it's anybody's guess. The more you know God, the more you're going to know how to live life and how to please God, which is basically the two things God tells us to do. Love God, love people. How can you do that unless you know what God says? Amen. Would you stand this morning as we close? Everything that God's written is written, the Bible says, for our benefit. And everything is there to help us live this life. But if we don't read it and don't study it and aren't taught it, it will never help us one bit. When you go home today or in your personal devotional life, take some time to read it. Get an easy version if you don't have one. And aside from reading that, read good books about the Bible. Don't stop reading the Bible, but read good books along with the Bible to help you understand what you're reading. It will change your life. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that God, you have given us all that we need in this word. Your word addresses situations. Your word helps us. Your word encourages us. And the Holy Spirit helps us to really understand the things that you've given us in this word. You help it to apply to our lives. And Father, we thank you for that. And we pray that you would fill each one of us daily with the Spirit of God and give us the ability to understand what your word says, gives us the ability to live the life, and gives us the ability to have victory in this life. We can walk around in victory despite circumstances in our life if we allow the Spirit of God to give us the encouragement and the joy that we need. And Lord, I pray that as we leave this morning, that God, your Spirit would go before us, that you would make every crooked way straight, that God, everything we do, Lord, I pray would be directed by your anointing and your power. And Lord, we expect you to be present in our lives every day, not because we have an attitude, but because your word says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So we know, Lord, that you are there because you haven't left. You're always there. Help us daily to honor you, to help us with life situations, and allow us to live in joy and peace and victory regardless of what's going on in our life. And the Spirit of God, Lord, we pray you would fill us to be able to do that. Father, we commit ourselves to you. We're your children. Take us, love us, encourage us, and keep us safe. Direct every step we take. And Father, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Have a great week. I'll see you Wednesday. Read the book.